Praise God. Father, we receive your peace. We receive your grace. We receive your abundance and goodness. Thank you, Father. Men of Valor will be putting the notes in your hands in a moment. Thank you, praise team. I want to say it's good to have Barry Hale home for a moment today as his brother. They've been down sojourning in the pagan wilderness called Atlanta. But I still enjoy driving through Buckhead and seeing some of the beautiful homes that are there. I found one I like, but Miss Cox wouldn't move out of it. Oh, God is good. I was kind of grinning when the Lord first told me what he wanted me to speak about today, because he gave me the title before he gave me the message. And he said to me, "Rebranding Impossible." And he reminded me that right now, McDonald's is rebranding their Mac Cafe, and all these other people are rebranding. And in the commercial industry, rebranding is becoming a big deal, that the times have changed and society has moved on and we're in a more technical age, and so it's time to rebrand. And the Lord said, "Tell my people it's time for them to rebrand Impossible." I remember when Ben Carson and Candy were first talking about running for president, and people said, "It's impossible." But he didn't let what people say bother him, and now he's one of the front runners for it. I remember when Donald Trump said he was going to run, and they said, "That's a joke. He could never be taken seriously." But you see, just because people want to push you into a mold, want to push you into something, well, your family ain't never been anything. Nobody in your neighborhood's ever accomplished nothing. Double negatives talking. But I want you to understand this. Nothing shall be impossible for them that believe. But as we get into the message, because this thought is going to come back again and again and again, because of the great grace of God wherewith he saved us when we were not deserving, healed us when we were not deserving, blessed us when we were not deserving, we have the ability to rebrand the challenges of our life. Because what you call it is what you'll have to deal with. Now, any believer who has come alive unto the Word of Truth knows that you cannot get healed while you're saying, "God, I want you to heal me of my cancer, my headache, my asthma, my..." You see, if you've already branded it yours, God won't pry it out of your hand. "God, I want you to do something about my poverty." Well, you've already branded it. You've got your brand on poverty for your life. The very beginning of believers understanding who they are in Christ Jesus is you've got to quit identifying with loss. You have got to quit identifying my pain, my sorrow, my grief, my hurt. Well, you've already branded it. But you see, at salvation, you should have said, "My God, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Deliverer, my healer. Well, if he is my healer, then I don't have my sickness. If he is my Savior, I don't have my guilt, my sin, my grief, my sorrow, because my Savior redeemed me. And so I want that understanding, even though we will reemphasize as we go through this, but it's up to you to rebrand the problems and trials that have beset your life. And learn that I will never again accept impossible in my life. Can you say that? I will never again accept impossible in my life. And someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I might obtain eternal life?" I want you to understand this. There's not anything good that you can do to obtain eternal life, to obtain healing, to obtain the blessings of the Lord. There's nothing you can do but accept what he has done. I want you to get this, because religion has lied to you. Well, if you can keep yourself holy, he might hear your prayer. No, there is nothing I can do except believe in what he did for me. And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." For a long time I struggled with this. Winnie, why did Jesus say, "Why are you calling me good? I'm not good." But then I realized his identity with man was so complete that he had accepted our damnable state. Took on the form of a man, and so he said, "I don't even resemble goodness because I've taken on your form, and I'm one of you." But if you wish to enter into life and keep the commandments, then he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I've kept. What am I still lacking?" Now he asked a question that Jesus answered. You see, the first commandment is, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself." He said, "I've been keeping all the commandments." Jesus said, "Let me prove to you you haven't been. Sell all that you have and give it." "I can't do that." "Then you are not keeping the first commandment. And if you break one commandment, you've broken all the commandments. So while you think you've kept all the commandments, you've broken all the commandments. Because you can't let God be God." But the young man heard this statement. He went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. He couldn't sing, "I trust in God." He said, "I trust in dirt, because I got a lot of it." And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." This is not an admonition against wealth. God doesn't mind you having wealth. God wants you to have wealth. He doesn't want wealth to have you. Because when you have wealth, you can dispose of it knowing you'll have more coming. But when wealth has you, you can't dispose of it because it tells you it's your source. And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The eye of the needle was a gate that entered the city. And to avoid armed aggression, to get through that gate, they would have to unload their camels, push the camel through that gate, and then bring the cargo in, so they couldn't come in a fighting stance. And so what he said there, it's hard for a rich man to trust. And it's easier to unload the camel and push the camel through the gate unloaded than it is to get someone to unload themselves. When the disciples heard this, they were astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" This will tell you the disciples weren't poor. The disciples were not poor boys. Why? Because they didn't say, "Yeah, only us poor folks can get saved. Them rich dudes all going to hell." They said, "Wait a minute. You're talking about us here. We have fishing companies. We have great wealth we got from being tax collectors. We're a physician. We drive a Buick. We got it made." "Then who can be saved?" And looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people, salvation is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." I'm going to ask you a question. Are you with people or are you with God? I hate songs like Southern Gospel hits, "I'm only human, I'm just a man." At the moment I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I quit being human. I became a child of the Most High God, an heir and joint heir with the anointed Redeemer, a citizen of heaven. I quit being human and I became eternal. I will not get eternal life when I draw my last breath. Scott, I've got eternal life now. With God, meaning to be joined to God, His Word, His will. This next sentence is probably one of the most important sentences I'll give you today. This is one that has caused much trouble in the body of Christ. God is not a rubber stamp for your wants, our wishes, or our needs. When it says with God, that doesn't mean whatever you want to do and then say in Jesus' name. Or in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let it be so. No, with God means I was talking with someone this week and the discussion turned to the subject of the new birth. And I said, far too many people got saved and far too few got born again. I've heard stories of people who were saved, and then the ship that rescued them, dragged them out of the water, sank. All right. A person who was taken out of a car wreck, put in an ambulance, and on the way to the hospital, a drunk driver ran into the ambulance and killed everybody in the ambulance. They were saved, but it didn't last. And they said, "Yeah, but how do you define it?" And I said, "Well, let's put it like this. A star player for the Eagles gets picked up by the Cowboys." You know his career is in a downward motion. When he goes to the Cowboys, even though he's been a star quarterback, running back, whatever, with them, what has he got to do? He's got to learn a completely new ideology of how the game is played. Yes, sir. Because the new coach has a new way of calling plays. All right. The whole playbook he had with the Eagles has got to be disposed of. Yep. Because none of those plays will be called in the huddle. That's it. Amen. And this is the difference in being saved and being born again. When you're born again, you realize you've changed teams. You've changed coaches. You've changed playbooks. You've changed to a whole new way of being. Saved, you can just add that to your lifestyle. That's good. But when you're born again, you've got to renew your mind to a new way of thinking, your mouth to a new way of talking, your spirit to a new way of believing, your life to a new way, because there's a whole new playbook. And you can't play for the Cowboys with the Eagles playbook.
That's right.
You can't play for the God team with the natural playbook. So being born again means a change of mind, of spirit, of activities, of desires, of passions. And understanding with God means this, with God. If you're with Ford, you don't ask for a Z06 engine in your new Mustang, because that's with Chevrolet. But I'd like to have a Mustang with a Z06 engine. No, with Ford, you get a Ford engine. Too much of the church is trying to get God to rubber stamp what they want, what they need, what they like. And you're not with God unless you're calling plays from His playbook. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What does it mean, through? Have you ever been at a place and you say, can you do this? And they say, well, let me run it through the boss. You fully understand when they say they're going to run it through the boss that the decision is not theirs. It rests with a higher power. Then why do we come to this? I can do all things through Christ, and we just want to add Christ to what we want to do. The Lord Jesus Christ is not committed to your playbook. You've got to jettison your playbook and take His playbook, because it's through Him, not Him added to what you want. Christ, the anointed in His anointing, through or in conjunction with, or you might say, I can do, accomplish all things in cooperation with the anointed one and His anointed. If I'm in cooperation with the anointed one and His anointing, I can do all things. But if I am just saying in Jesus' name, then it's not through. What can be accomplished through Him? Changing water to wine? Natural impossibility. But with God, all things are possible.
Yes.
Raising Lazarus from the dead? A natural impossibility, but with God. Curing a 12-year blood flow? Naturally impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Getting tax money from a fish? If it could be done, Ava would have already done it. Feeding 5,000 with a kid's lunch? Natural impossibility, but with God. Forgiving a person's sins, a natural impossibility, but with God.
Yes.
With man, meaning in man's realm of ability, it's not possible. But with God, it is possible. The term impossible occurs several times in the New Testament and is translated as other words or expressions of inability. And He said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith, this is a mistranslation, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. The word littleness of your faith is also the word impossible. It's translated from the same root word. Luke 1:37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Looking at them, He said, with people, it's impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Things that are impossible for people are possible with God. At Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength. The King James says he was infirm in his feet, lame from his mother's womb. That no strength, that infirmed is the same word, impossible. It was impossible for him to walk, but with God. For what the law could not do, weak as it was, is the word impossible. It was impossible for the law to change you. But God, sending his Son in his likeness, in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, and he did for us the impossible. Now we who are strong are to bear the weaknesses. That word weaknesses is the same root word impossible. Hebrews 6:4, for in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit makes the impossible possible. So by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. All of these impossibilities, what happens when we turn to God? The term impossible doesn't apply to the believer. I said the term impossible doesn't apply to the believer. Why? Because the believer learns to rebrand. What does it mean to rebrand something? To call it by another name. McDonald's hamburgers. Mac Cafe. What does it mean to rebrand the impossibilities of your life? It's no longer my sickness, my disease, my grief, my sorrow, my hurt, my loss. I rebrand it redeemed. I rebrand it healed. I rebrand it delivered. I rebrand it free. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. What is faith with God? Faith, a trust in, reliance on, and adherence to, it is written. All I've got to do is find what it is written says about this thing and rebrand it what the Word says about it. Faith means that I am with God. Faith means that I am in the anointing. Faith means that I am dependent on a promise of God. Faith is not, well, I'm believing it could happen. Faith is not, I'm believing it will happen. Faith believes it already has happened, and I'm waiting on delivery. Mark 11:24, and when you pray, believe. When you pray, believe that you have them, and then they will come to you. When do I believe that I have them? Well, when I feel it in my hand. No. When I took his word as my assurance. Faith becomes a substance. Roger says to me, Jim, I need $1,000. And I pick up my checkbook and I write him a check. What does he have? Insurance. He has the substance of $1,000. But does he have the $1,000 yet? There's a process he has to go through. Because if he looks at that and says, oh, I don't believe it's any good. I'm afraid if I go down to that bank, they're going to laugh at me. But you see, he takes that substance and he goes to where it's made good. Now, for the believer, sickness is attacking your body. And you go, faith is a substance of things hoped for. I hope to be better. So I go to the Word of God and I find Peter 2:24 and I take that check as my substance. And I carry it to the bank of heaven and I begin to thank the Father. Father, I thank you that your Word is more real than this lie that's arrayed against my physical being. I have your check, Peter 2:24, for my healing. Now I want to celebrate that I am the healed of the Lord and I am rebranding my sickness. And I'm calling it now broken. I'm branding it healed. I'm rebranding my physical being healed. And I thank you that what would be impossible for me is now my possession because I have the substance that I can present to the bank of heaven and celebrate the victory that is mine. Rebranding impossible by applying His truth to life's challenges. Thy word, O Lord, is truth. Any promise in your new covenant, Judith, is your check signed by God for that thing. You take that check, you receive it as yours, you rebrand that lie in your life, and then you go to the bank of heaven to cash that check. With celebration. Because what you can celebrate, you can possess. I can do all things the Word says I can. But only I can rebrand the realities of my life with the truth of His promise. I exchange the lie, the symptom, the captivity, the plague. I exchange it for a promise of God, and the promise now becomes my substance of my possession that's on deposit for me. When I hand Roger that check, he doesn't have the $1,000. He has the substance that allows him to access the bank where the $1,000 is. A lot of Christians haven't understood. And so they'll say, well, Pastor, I read that verse and nothing happened. It didn't say read the verse. It says rebrand the problem in your life. I was sick, but now with His stripes I have been made whole. I receive that as my substance. I carry it to the bank of heaven. And I begin to praise God that I can cash this check in full assurance and receive it. So I start celebrating my new estate of being. I am the healed of the Lord. I am the blessed of the Lord. Well, Pastor, I don't believe that works. Well, that's what's working for you. I believe it does, and it's working for me. Call things that be not as though they are. What is that? Rebranding. Call things that be not as though they are. I'm just rebranding it. Father, I brought your word to your people this day, and we are becoming keenly alert to the promises of your word and realize that they are the substance of the things we hope for. So we are rebranding every challenge of our life. We're rebranding every negativity, every captivity, every adverse thing, for by grace, your unmerited favor, are we brought to health, safety, soundness, wholeness, and deliverance. So this day we choose to rebrand every fact of our life with the truth of your word that allows us to walk in the fullness of your promise. And we boldly decree we are the redeemed of the Lord. And because we are, we will no longer be held captive by any lie, trick, or scheme of darkness. Father, I call the people under the sound of my voice blessed, anointed, infused, empowered. I decree that this is their season of abundance, that they will go out of this year and a level of your abundant blessings that they've never known before. As you overtake them, overflow them, and empower them for success. And the people said,
Amen.
Your loves, your blessed, go with God.